Welcome to Pathfinder Academy. Class is now in session. Here are your professors, Caleb and Christian.
Good morning, class. You may be seated. Today's lesson is on the Undyne race. This is part of our race overview series where we go over all the possible player races, and this is the last of the featured races. Christian, we need to start at the top of the show. Undyne, Undine, how do you say it?
I go back and forth because I don't care enough.
But great, the hallmark of any good teacher is I just don't care. That's I love that. I say Undyne myself.
Undine, I don't know, I think I say Undine.
Now, Christian, I've been interacting with our community, our great vast expanse. That doesn't make any sense. The word expanse there, take that out. The vast community we have here, it's far-reaching. It crosses the globe to at least two different countries. And interacting with my fans, I've been told by some, by few, by one, that there needs to be more jokes. So, Christian, I have come prepared.
Who told
with
you
more
that?
Jokes. Christian? 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 What did the sink say to the water faucet?
Caleb, this isn't our style. This isn't what we do.
You're a real drip. Nailed it, guys. Look at that. I'm using more jokes, just like you guys told me to do. I'm so good at taking feedback. All right. The Undyne,
Does that constitute a joke? Those are just words in a sequence.
They're the best kind of jokes. They're lame jokes. 7 RP are Undynes, which kind of scares me a little bit. I want them to be a little higher if you're going to have like this elemental bloodline. I'm afraid they're going to be a little bit weak, but we're going to find out. Undynes are the last of our elemental creatures. These guys are water. And let's talk about what they look like, because each one had to kind of look a different way, whether it's the fiery-like hair of the Ifrits, whether it's the... Well, I'm not going to go over each element. Each element looked like its own element. Gosh darn it. Earth looked like rocks. We get it. These guys display a wide variation of skin tones, ranging from pale turquoise, a good color, to deep blue to sea green. An Undyne's straight, thick hair tends to be of a familiar yet slightly darker color than her skin. All have limpid blue eyes. I don't know what that means. I'm guessing, if I had to guess, it means it's got like that weird like double that like left-right blink, but we'll see. Physically, Undynes most resemble humans, and their physiques show human diversity in regard to overall height and body type. Aside from their coloration, their mostly racially defining traits remain in their fin-like ears and webbed hands and feet. Christian, limpid, what does it mean?
I'm so glad you asked. It means free of anything that darkens, completely clear. Which I guess it means, that do they not have pupils in that case? I don't know what that really means in regards to eyes.
I mean, you could, like, see through to, like, the back of their skull or the inside of that skull. That's cool. I like it. I'm with it. It's like having marbles in there. Love it. Awesome. They're between 5 foot and 6 foot 6 inches. And they weigh between 130 and 220 pounds. But, Christian, how old can they get? What's their age like? Well, they're the same as the other elemental races, which means that they are adults at 60 years old, middle-aged at 150, old at 200, venerable at 250, and can live up to... a gosh darn 850 years. Elves, take a back seat to this. I'm growing up for a long time. Well, we had to have some sort of reflection. Remember, we had like the air guys. We couldn't just make them translucent. So we gave them like, oh, cool tattoos. I want the fins. This is exactly what I would expect to have on a water element based race.
I'm surprised that little description on like the other ones didn't include anything about their personality traits. Which, you know, you can't always force on characters. But like we had the Sylph was kind of inquisitive. Sure. It didn't like people finding about. They don't say anything about that with the Undynes.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, I think, that they do talk about it in the other races, because it's the physical description. There's a whole big section about relations and their alignments and the religion, and there's a summary thing. There's all the stuff where I think that should go. And I did read that for the Undyne, and it said that they are kind of playful among each other, but they are serious in the company and reserved in the company of others. And that they really embrace their heritage. Whereas, you know, sometimes it's always like, the Tengu could, like, take a trait that allowed them to look like a human. The Undyne seem to be proud of who they are and where they come from.
Did they use a lot of water and nautical-themed adjectives, like tepid and lukewarm, in that description?
Yeah, not really, but they do kind of, like... They have strong emotional control, so their tempers can very quickly flail from being calm to raging like the sea in an instant. And they actually get to choose that, and it's not like, they're not like bipolar where they can't control it. It's a very firm, they choose to do this. So there, is that enough for you, Christian?
They go from a babbling book to a raging river?
Standard racial traits. Let's find out about these guys. Their ability to score racial traits say that they are both perceptive and agile. Hey, it's actually agile is how you say that word. And they tend to adapt rather than match force with force. They get +2 dex, +2 wisdom, and -2 strength.
Those are like my two favorite stats, but there's absolutely like no class that benefits from both dexterity and wisdom, with the exception of like monk.
That's not true at all. Whenever you have a sorcerer, you want to have your touch attack do well, so you need that dex.
I mean, everyone benefits from dex to some degree.
Yeah, of course your AC, but I mean, when I have a wizard and I have to do ranged touch attacks, I gotta pump up my dex. So this is good for a sorcerer.
Undines are outsiders with the native subtype, like we see with the rest of the elemental races.
Medium creatures.
They have a base speed of 30 feet on land. They also have a swim speed of 30 feet, can move in water without making swim checks, and always treat swim as a class skill.
Good. Great. Is this actually the first time we've seen in the movement speed section a different kind of speed? Like, catfolk could take a trait to make them good climbers, but this is the first time I've seen it base, right?
I believe so, yes. And like we mentioned with the catfolk, having a swim speed, having an anything speed is really important because it means that you don't really have to make checks ever. You're just assumed you can do it, except in like the most extraneous of circumstances.
They begin play speaking common in Aquan, and if they have a high int score, they can choose between Orin, Dwarven, Elven, Gnome, Halfling, Ignan, and Terran.
Undines have cold resistance 5. Again, still not as good as fire resistance 5, but I don't find cold particularly uncommon.
And it's very thematic. If you're going in the deep ocean, it's gonna get cold. The sun just can't warm up all that water, Christian. It's just too much for asking for a little sun. It's trying its hardest, but it just can't do it. They have a spell-like ability called Hydraulic Push. They can use that once per day.
A little torrent of water shoots out of your hands, a la Avatar The Last Airbender, and you make like a CMD check, or CMB check against people to trip them.
Bull rush them, actually. Uh-huh.
Bull rush that one. Excuse me. And like we've seen with the rest of the elemental races, Undine have water affinity. Sorcerers with the elemental water bloodline treat their charisma score as 2 points higher for all sorcerer spells and class abilities, and Undine clerics with the water domain cast their water domain powers and spells at +1 caster level.
And they get dark vision. They can see perfectly in the dark up to 60 feet. Very glad, because, again, that sun just can't get that light as deep as it needs to.
They have very few racial abilities. That's a small list. That's it.
I think it's a good list, though. I mean, maybe it's... I'm kind of thinking it's more than I would expect for their CR, but maybe probably not. But each thing was pretty useful. They got that swim speed. I think it's pretty good. Dark vision is certainly not something to scoff at.
Right.
Christian, we got alternate racial traits, but before we get to these alternate racial traits, I want to tell you a story. Okay? A man goes to his doctor because he's been feeling ill for days. The doctor gives him several sets of pills. The doctor instructs, take the green pill with 2 big glasses of water when you get up. An hour later, take the white pill with another glass of water. Take the blue pill with a big glass of water after lunch. Mid-afternoon, take the orange pill with plenty of water and repeat that at dinner. Then just before going to bed, take the red pill with several big glasses of water. The man is alarmed at huge volume of medicine he's been given to take and nervously asks, what's the diagnosis? What's wrong with me? The doctor says, you're dehydrated. More jokes, guys. Now with more jokes, 100% more jokes. Is that you laughing on the inside, Christian?
Something's happening on the inside.
Talk to me about some of their alternate racial traits. You need time to recover from that excellent joke? That gut wrencher? It might actually have been a gut wrencher. It was meant to be a gut buster.
The first ability they have, the first alternate racial trait, is Acid Breath. And this is going to replace the Hydraulic Push spell-like ability. Undines whose outsider heritage can be traced to a water mephit can wield acid as a weapon. Such an undine has a breath weapon that is a 5-foot cone of acidic water usable once per day. The breath deals 1d8 points of acid damage per 2 character levels with a maximum of 5d8. A reflex saving throw, DC 10, plus half your level, plus your con modifier, halves the damage. I like it better than the Hydraulic Push one. I think they're both cool, but this isn't bad.
Myself, I would rather do the damage than bull rush somebody.
It's only a 5-foot cone, though, so you gotta be right in their face.
Amphibious. Some undines are born with a permanent bond to water. Really? Some? Undines with this racial trait gain the aquatic subtype and amphibious special quality. This racial trait replaces the spell-like ability racial trait. What's so important about that, Christian?
The aquatic subtype? Like, know how certain creatures have subtypes? Not like demon, but, say, Aeon, the air subtype, the human itself is a subtype. The aquatic subtype has a small subset of things associated with it. This is This creature always has a swim speed and can move in water without making swim checks. Okay, they already had that. An aquatic creature can breathe water. It cannot breathe air unless it has the amphibious special quality, which this also gave them. And aquatic creatures always treat swim as a class skill. So in this case, really all it's giving us is the ability to breathe water.
Indefinitely. Okay, but they're, instead of just being like, you can activate like the spell air bubble all the time, they make it themed to it. But essentially, it's just you can breathe water.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. All right. I think that's very, very themed to them, and I would absolutely take it. I think I'll take it more than a spell-like ability racial trait. I also kind of find that this is like, if we're doing anything in water, this is going to be ultra-powerful. But if we're in a desert, it's just like, I'm useless.
And I want to say the amphibious quality is special because I think, it didn't state it there, but amphibious says that they can survive indefinitely on land. I think there's something else associated with being aquatic, like you have to be in water for so long and part of the day or else you'd like, shrivel up and die. I remember reading that at some point, but I can't find it at the moment, so don't quote me on that.
I think that's just on like certain beasts. I don't think that's knit to the nature of aquatic.
Their next alternate racial trait is deep sight. The eyes of Sun Undines are especially adapted to the lightless depths of the ocean, but not to air-filled environments. An Undine with this racial trait has dark vision 120 feet while underwater, but otherwise has no dark vision at all. This replaces dark vision.
I like the way that works a lot. I was expecting as you were reading that, oh, they're going to get light sensitivity, but I like this way better. This is way more flavorful.
I'd never take it
unless it's all water all the time, but very, very flavorful and true to them, I think.
Even if you were playing like an underwater campaign, being the only person in your party with this would be kind of annoying. Because now the DM has to consider, like, okay, this person can see 60 feet ahead, so he's going to see everything first.
Though it would be helpful if you have a party of Undines.
Yeah.
Or Merfolk, which we'll get into later. There is Flesh Chameleon. Some Undines can change their coloration to match human skin tones. It's a standard action. An Undine with this racial trait can change your natural blue hue to match any normal human skin tone. It can revert to normal as free action. This grants a +4 racial bonus of disguise checks to appear human. This racial trait replaces energy resistance. I like this one because they weren't short-sighted. It wasn't a bunch of white guys that's designed Pathfinder saying, oh, and you can look like a white person. No, they're like, any human skin tone. I like that a lot. I like that versatility. I like that.
I don't
it's
like that.
It's almost like they're not being stubborn. You know, we don't want people to be stubborn. Speaking of stubborn, this guy named Glenn, he sends his son Evan to bed. Five minutes later, Evan screams downstairs, Dad, can you get me a glass of water? Glenn says, no, you had your chance. After a minute, Evan screams again, Dad, can you get me a glass of water? Glenn says, no, I told you, you had your chance. If you ask one more time, I'll come up there and spank you. After a short silence, the father hears, Dad, when you come up to spank me, can you bring me a glass of water? Hey. Oh, that clever little kid. You gotta love Evan, huh? What's up with Glenn, huh? Just bring your son some water. Hey-o.
Did you look up, like, badjokes.com and just control F water and grab
Christian,
whatever you could find.
Where is the camera you've hidden in my house?
I don't like that this one only gives them a +4 racial bonus to appear human. Like that's such a specific check. I don't feel like unless you're in like the most specific campaign setting where for some reason there is a dislike toward the Undying race, so you need to appear human for some reason. This is so situationally useful and otherwise completely useless.
We wanted to give a plus four bonus to look like what? A tango? Of course it's to appear human.
Why not like stealth checks? Why not some bonus to stealth checks in, you know, certain environments? Why? I just feel
I'm
like this is so, niche and mechanically weak. It is only flavor. I would only consider this for the flavor, which I really like it for the flavor. But mechanically, this is basically useless the way I see it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Speaking of that, we're talking about the way they look. I gotta say, the art in this book did a terrible job with the guy. The guy looks like a dork. He looks ridiculous. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna get you. That's it. Here, let me, without describing him at all, I'm just give you a feeling. Get this. I'm gonna get you. That feeling is what this guy looks like. However, the girl, they did a fantastic job. She's got like, she doesn't have hair traditional. It's like this like almost fabric-like hair. And she's got these, when they talked about the description of these guys, they talked about they don't wear a lot of clothes because they're in the water all the time. This kind of wear it they need to bear the elements. They don't wear shoes. And it's well reflected in the art for this girl. I think it's well done for this, for the girl. For the guy, come on, get out of here, guy. I don't need no guy. Get out of here. Hydrated vitality. An Undyne with this racial trait gains fast healing 2 for 1 round anytime she submerges complete within a bottle, body, not bottle, be a big bottle, of natural salt water, fresh water, or brackish water. Pop quiz, what's brackish? Brackish water.
Isn't brackish when, like, it's in, like, a forest and the roots kind of seep in and colors the water brown? I'm gonna actually Google this to see if I'm correct.
Wrong. That sounds cool, though. Brackish just means salt and water's mixed.
Oh, really?
It's salt and fresh mixed. Yep.
I've never heard that word before in my life. I live in a bubble, I guess.
Well, do you live in a bottle? Stagnant, poison, or trapped water, such as an artificial pit or a bag of holding, does not activate this ability. Aww. The Undyne can heal up to 2 points per level with day per day with this ability, after which it ceases to function. This replaces water affinity. The theme here is awesome thematically. It's fairly weak mechanically.
I don't know. I think this is my favorite. I love this one.
Yeah?
Because if you're in a kind of gritty campaign where you're like, you know, hit point tracking and healing by resting is important, that triples the amount of hit points you can heal per day based on resting. And I just love the thought of, like, you know, the Undyne person, oh look, I like water, well guess how much I like water, I'm not mortally wounded anymore when I dip myself in it, let's go. It gives you a reason to go out and seek natural water. It would give a character a reason, like after a dungeon, like, can we go find a river or something, guys, like I'm not feeling great.
Yeah, I think everything here is screamed to me. I can do a lot of roleplay with these.
And if you think about it, this is way more useful than all the other elemental races get, because it's like, oh, if you're an Oread and you take acid damage, then you get fast healing too for a round. I like this much better. It's much more usable.
I like the idea, though. I like to carry around with me a bag of holding, just dump out water, be like, I'm better now. Took it away from me.
Just pour Dasani all over yourself. Their next alternate racial trait is Narid Fascination. This is going to replace the Hydraulic Push spell-like ability. Some Undines can trace their ancestry to Narids as well as to Outsiders. Once per day as a standard action, such an Undine can create a 20-foot radius aura that causes humanoids within the aura's range to become fascinated for a number of rounds equal to half the Undine's character level. Targets may resist with a will save equal to 10 plus half level plus the Undine's Charisma modifier. This is a supernatural ability.
It's kind of like hey, I'm just a little bit of a bard for a second. I don't know. I'm not interested in this in either flavor or mechanic.
So, Nereids are from Greek mythology. They're essentially sea nymphs. I think this is really cool. I think this is a great role-playing tool. I think this is really powerful in social situations or anytime you're in a city and need to create a distraction or something like that. I really like this a lot, actually.
I'm going to be pretty, and it's canon. I got a whole trait for it. Everybody thinks I'm beautiful. Except when they get close to me, then they smell my ooze breath. Some Undyne's outsider heritage can be traced to ooze methods. Gross. These Undyne's have a breath weapon that is a 5-foot cone of slime, usable once per day. Deals 1d4 points of acid damage per 2 character levels, up to a max of 5d4. Sickens the creature in the area for 3 rounds. Reflex save can halve the damage and negate the sickened effect. Replaces your spell-like ability racial trait. I mean, it's as good as the other one.
Well, that's a lot more interesting than the acid breath. Usually a sickened... I find this interesting because sickened is typically a fortitude save because it's like your physical constitution to resist this effect, but they're forcing a reflex saving throw to avoid it. That's very interesting.
It's not interesting at all. It's like it's a breath weapon. It's always a reflex save to dodge it.
I know, but typically, like, so if something nauseated you or sickened you, typically it would be a fort save to resist that.
It's not interesting, Christian. You know what is interesting? Why do you think the letter T is like an island?
No, stop, Caleb.
Because it's in the middle of water. Bazinga! Wait, that's copyrighted. Crap! Do you say water or water?
Let me check. From the Northeast, I have a bottle.
Say water.
On my desk is a bottle of water. Wow, I say it like water. A normal person, Caleb.
Well, it has a T in it, but you and I, we have a D in there. Not all of our listeners are from the Northeast of frickin' America, Christian.
I'm drinking from this cool, crisp bottle of water.
Yeah, water. I don't know why would you want to pronounce the T? Just throw that D in there, makes it go so much faster. Christian, Terrain Chameleon. Talk to me about it.
This is going to replace the cold resistance trait. Some Undines can change their coloration to blend in with underwater terrain, mixing browns, grays, and greens to resemble kelp or other natural water plants. Okay, we have a lot of repeating traits here with, like, subtle variations.
It's true.
As a standard action, an Undine with this racial trait can change her coloration, gaining a +4 bonus on stealth checks in underwater environments. You can return to normal color as a free action. Well, that one's situationally more useful. I hope your campaign's spending a lot of time in the water, though. Like, from all this, I'm getting the feeling like you don't want to play an Undine with a group of people that can never go in the water.
Yeah, you're not giving a player who's has all these tools to roleplay and encouragements to roleplay, but without letting them do it. Water sense. Undines with this rich trait can sense vibrations in water, granting them blind sense 30 feet against creatures in contact with the same body of water. This replaces energy resistance. I love the idea of like trying to min-max this, kind of like, all right, how can we work this? All right, just make a tiny little tunnel. All right, or it's raining. Technically, all the water's touching me. Technically, I'm just saying, I should have blind sense to this guy.
I really like this. I mean, whenever you're wading through waist-high water, I don't think that's a particularly uncommon thing to happen. This could be very useful. You see those crocodiles coming at you before, you know, they snap you. Or alligators. Which one's bigger?
I don't know, Christian.
How do you not know that?
You don't know it.
I know, but that doesn't mean I can't be angry at you for not knowing it.
Well, that was a lot of alternate racial traits, Christian.
Yeah, I think that was the most we've seen of the featured races that come in the core book.
And all of them were interesting to some degree. And I'm actually very happy with that. But let's not talk about our conclusions yet. We've got other things to talk about. They have two archetypes. Undyne Adept for the Druid and the Water Singer for the Bard. That's kind of the idea of the Siren, huh? Before we get to their feats, which there aren't too many of, but there's still, you know, a fair number. Let's talk about our other podcast at you real quick at this natural conversation that's about to happen with us right now and is not pre-recorded. Oh, hey, didn't see you there. My friend Christian and I were just about to exchange Valentines.
Hey, Caleb, do you think these guys would be interested in joining us?
You know, I bet they would. I mean, if they listen to Pathfinder Academy, they gotta be cool, right? If role-playing games are your thing, why don't you guys check out our other podcast, Trailblazers?
Trailblazers is an actual play podcast where you can see many of the concepts addressed in this show come to life. Season 2 of Trailblazers has been great so far, and I especially like that you can get into it without any prior knowledge of Season 1.
It's definitely a fun adventure, especially if you like mysteries and a dash of cyberpunk with your fantasy. If high fantasy is more your style, then consider giving Season 1 a listen.
You can listen to Trailblazers on this very feed. We've got a bunch of other ways to listen as well, so go to our site tblazer.net for a complete list of the ways that you can listen.
So go ahead, cut some heart-shaped cards, buy some chocolates, grab some dice, and join us. All right, Christian, read your Valentine now.
All right. It says, rogues are red, fighters are blue, I'd like to paladin around with you. Aw, thanks, Caleb.
No problem, Christian. Just like every time I roll a critical 20, being your friend is simply natural. Turn down for me! Wow, Christian, that natural conversation we had seemed to be well edited and had some sound effects and audio.
You're right, Caleb. That's just how we talk. That's just how deep our friendship is.
That's right.
It creates sound effects.
Speaking of friendship, you know, I think at high school is where I made a lot of friends. And why do you think the kid dumped a bucket of water off the school roof?
He heard one of your jokes and was trying to jump, but tripped over a bucket of water.
He wanted to make a big splash in front of his class. All right, Christian, you turn a great, fun, family, fun, friendly joke into a very dark path of children's suicide.
I think
we can argue that my terrible joke is better than the direction you were taking it.
That's where your jokes are taking me, Caleb.
They're taking you to a sinister path. Christian, we got feats. We need to talk about them.
Okay. The first feat is aquatic ancestry. You favor your outside ancestry and are better adapted to life in the water. No prerequisites. You just have to be an Undine. You gain the amphibious special quality. Your swim speed increases by 10 feet. Hey, you could use a feat to get a trait. That's awesome. Yeah.
Boo.
What did that one replace? Amphibious replaced the spell-like ability racial trait. I think I would much rather lose my hydraulic push than spend a feat on this.
I agree.
That seems short-sighted. Oh, 10 more swim speed. That's going to be super important for all the very tactical, mapped-out, three-dimensional swimming battles I construct for my players.
They have access to the Elemental Jaunt feat, which is also available to their other Elemental brothers and sisters. So they're going to take them to the Plane of Water. This could be very interesting. I'm glad they put this level 15, because I can be just like, well, I'm done with this encounter. This guy's going to venture out of energy and drown.
Yeah, probably up there with the Plane of Fire is the more powerful ones to bring people to offensively. But also, if you have that racial trait that lets you heal in the water, you can just, you know, teleport away into the Plane of Water, heal up your 30 hit points at this level, and then come back.
At the very least, it's going to give you a spot to use all those cool water talents you got.
Level 15, you haven't used them all whatsoever, and then you're like, you know what, guys? Forget I got it. I'm gonna go to the Plane of Water.
I'm gonna go heal 2D. I'm gonna go get fast healing 2 for a minute.
Their next feat is Hydraulic Maneuver. You can use your Hydraulic Push to disarm or trip. That's a very specific and mechanic-y flavor text. The only prerequisite is that you don't replace Hydraulic Push spell-like ability with any of the way better things you can pick instead of that. You may use Hydraulic Push to attempt a Bull Rush, Disarm, Dirty Trick, or Trip combat maneuver. Each time you use Hydraulic Push, you may decide which of these you want to perform. You may use this feat with your Hydraulic Push racial spell-like ability, your class-granted use of Hydraulic Push, or any Hydraulic Push spells you cast, but not with magic items or other external sources that let you cast that spell.
Why put that limit on it?
I don't know. Why would you put that limit on a feat that modifies a level 1 spell to be slightly more useful?
I got a better question. Why would you ever pick this feat? The answer is you never would.
I mean, maybe for a fun build in like a game where you don't care mechanically at all, it's just for flavor, I could definitely see that. But yeah, I'd probably replace this Hydraulic Push anyway with something better.
Yeah. There is Steam Caster. You may increase the casting time of a fire spell to a full round action, infusing it with elemental power. This spell is treated as if it had the water descriptor. All fire effects are the altered spell, and instead manifest as superheated steam. This spell works normally underwater without requiring a caster level check. Unlike fire, the steam cannot ignite objects or set creatures on fire. Still deals fire damage. Fire resistance or immunity still applies to the spell's effects. So literally the only use of it, aside from, hey, cool, look at this awesome flavor, this awesome skin I'm doing, is that you can do it underwater without the check.
Yes. Normally, to cast a fire spell underwater, you need to make some sort of concentration check.
I would just ask my GM if I can do this just for fun. Why do I need a feat for this? I just want my stuff to be steam. That sounds cool. It's not worth a feat.
Which, technically, if you're not underwater, is weaker because you can't light things on fire.
But we really are making fun of this as if no one ever has run a water campaign before. People do it. It does happen. And you have that available to you. So this is... it's just very specific, and I think no matter what kind of campaign you have, when something isn't versatile, it's not a great pick all the time.
I mean, even in an underwater campaign, this doesn't do anything besides say, hey, this thing you normally wouldn't be able to do, but is, you know, equitable to every other build option you have available to you, is now possible, except now you're down 1 feat. It should at least confer some kind of bonus. You're actually losing something because now it's a full round action to cast.
No, question, you're getting heated.
I will say it's super cool. I love the imagery of this. I love the flavor of this. But mechanically, I just don't like the fact that I'm basically in an underwater campaign and I want to cast fire spells. I have to lose out on a feat in my move action every turn. I'm salty. I'm salty like the sea.
Like the sea.
Their next feat is called Triton Portal. This requires you to be a 5th level Undine and not to replace the Hydraulic Push spell-like ability. You can channel your inner magic to summon allies. Once per day, you may expend your racial Hydraulic Push ability to cast Summon Nature's Ally 3 as a spell-like ability with a caster level equal to your character level. This ability can only summon 1d3 small water elementals, 1d4 plus 1 dolphins, 1 whole shark, or an electric eel.
As opposed to 2 half shark.
I really like this because I always like things that let people who aren't spellcasters cast spells.
Yeah. I like the idea of, like, hey, guess what? Shark now. I want to do that. I don't care if I'm on land. I'm doing it. Shark now.
You know what? There's this tavern brawl going on, and I am sick of this. I'm throwing a shark out there just to see how people react.
That's right. Exactly. Well, eat the shark. Christian, is it dangerous to swim on a full stomach? Of course it is, Christian. It's better to swim in water. Wordplay! 100% more jokes, guys, just what like you asked for.
What URL are you on? Because I'm going to hack them and bring them down immediately.
Christian, I'm just giving the listeners what they asked for. Exactly what they asked for. With no misinterpretations. Finish us off, Christian.
I did Triton Portal.
Of course you did. I'm going to finish this off. I am. Thank you for... I'm editing all this out. I'm perfect. I make no mistakes. Water skinned. Your touch extinguishes small flames. Standard action, you can extinguish a small non-magical fire with a touch, affecting anything up to the size of a large campfire. This ability does not affect fires with a total area greater than 5 foot square. Touching the fire in this way does not harm you. Really not worth a feat. I feel like there's a cantrip that could do this.
Should be a trait. This is...
Here, Christian, here's what I'm going to say. We're jumping...
Watch out. It's that... The super bad arsonist that only lights fires in 5 foot squares.
Christian, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until we get to our conclusions, because we have racial equipment to talk about, Christian.
Hopefully that'll save us.
They got a chain belt, which is interesting just kind of from a roleplay perspective. I want to read a line for you here. Why, while Undines dress sparingly, they often wear 10 foot long belts of fine link chain about their waists. Essentially, it allows you to kind of like have a backpack without having a backpack. You can store a bunch of crap on there. I like that because if you're seriously going to take the way we say Undyne's work, you're going to need something there if they're not just carrying around backpacks. Always, all the time, my players have all this equipment, and I just kind of like, you have a backpack, but we don't really ever talk about it. It doesn't really appear. It's this like trans-dimensional backpack that no one ever talks about or sees, right? Or needs to be taken off or anything like that, right? I like the idea here that it's like, no, we're going to actually address it and have a kind of cool way to handle it. It's cheap. It's not like the most super game-breaking thing in the world, but I think it's cool. It's only 15 gold. You said you thought the potion spawn was interesting.
Yeah, I'm reading it. Calm down. I kind of don't understand the purpose of it. It absorbs a potion. One dose of a potion, you can chew it or swallow it to get its effects. But it doesn't seem like, can I use this underwater?
Yes, it can. That's the main purpose of this.
Oh, okay. I guess
you can tell because there's a line here. I know that you read it because you harshly yelled at me saying, I'm reading it now. Unlike a potion that is drunk from a vial, a potion sponge can be used underwater. It's 2 gold. It's very useful, very flavorful. I mean, it's got to be. You're drinking out of it, right?
Caleb, that line's like halfway down. Do you think I got that far?
That wasn't even a water joke. That was just a good joke. Came off the top of my head. See, look, I'm back, baby. I'm back.
Where did you go?
I don't know. We recorded late at night a couple times after school. I've been gone to Tired Town. That's where I've gone. I'm still Tired Town, but I'm forcing myself to make jokes. Speaking of jokes, Christian. No, it's just you. You're the joke. Your life is everything. About you.
That one's actually pretty funny.
Thank you.
I am a joke.
There's the shark tooth amulet, which essentially lets you use thrown weapons underwater. I only mention that it's because if you're going to start doing some melee stuff underwater, this is going to be essential. Even though I don't think thrown weapon builds are ever very good.
It's just another one of the things on the list that say, hey, this thing you normally are able to do, you could do it underwater and it's still equitable, if not worse than other options.
Right. It's 9,000 gold, by the way.
Oh, you can also use melee weapons normally while underwater with that amulet, which is really important because I think all weapons deal like half damage or something like that underwater because you're like swinging through, well, water, obviously.
Right. Yeah, good point. I don't know how I missed that. It's almost like I didn't read this one completely either.
Another one of the Undine items is called the Shawl of Lifekeeping. A very generically useful item. It's a little shawl from silk that you wear around your neck. Once per day, you can speak a command word and transfer some of your hit points, up to 10 of them, into the shawl. If you're wearing the shawl and you are reduced to -1 hit points or less, the shawl immediately heals you for however much health you have stored in the shawl. The life energy that you store inside the shawl lasts for 24 hours or until it heals the wearer, whichever comes first.
Awesome. I made a more powerful version of this before I even knew this existed. I think this is a cool effect.
The little footnote that the life energy only lasts for 24 hours means either if you want to use it that day, you're going to have to heal the hit points you put into the shawl, or, you know, you're going to have to rest and then you have half the day to use it. But basically, you can look at this as, hey, you have 10 more hit points to work with.
Right, and it's only 1,000 gold. This is a cheap thing to get early game while you don't have anything on your shoulder slot. And, I mean, that's when 10 hit points really matters early game, you know? Mm-hmm. They get the Slippers of the Triton, which allows them, anyone wearing them, to get a 30-foot swim speed. It's very expensive, 56,000 gold. But it is a way to get a permanent swim speed.
They're basically literally flippers.
Basically literally?
Yes.
Christian, how do you feel about the Undyne?
Honestly, I'm a little disappointed. They have one flavor, and that's water, and though they obviously hit water very well, it's not a very interesting flavor. They're literally just water people. You could just say water people. It's like, okay, I get it. That's what they are. They do a bunch of water things, right? Yeah, everything's water-related. And I feel like the other elemental races have better ways of, like, breaking out from that idea, if only a little bit, and showing, like, a little bit more humanity. This is really just, like, water people. They do water things, they have water abilities, and you use them in water, and they do water stuff. And just the feats, a lot of the feats we went over, like I said, I just don't like the fact that a lot of things are just, like, you can do this suboptimal thing underwater now. Well, okay, thanks. That's great, I guess.
I think it's, you know, you're trading something for another thing. I think they do what they do very well at the cost of not doing other things. Some of those traits, especially, were some of the most flavorful we've seen yet, especially of the elemental races. Every time we saw one, we kept saying, wow, this flavor is great. I do understand their RP cost now, because it's not a lot of very functional in-game use, especially when we get to the feats. And kind of like the catfolk, and actually even beyond the catfolk, these guys have never been supported, even with that recent book that came out. They've never been supported past the advanced race guide. So this is what you got for them.
They obviously have their own niche in that. I think this is, if you wanted, really, really wanted to do an underwater campaign, and you're like, well, let's do this in Pathfinder, the system that has the most verbose underwater penalties rules I've ever seen, you'd want a party of Undines, most likely. Undines, and I think only like half elves with an alternate racial trait can live underwater, sustain themselves underwater in some way.
Christian, that ends our series on the featured races. Now we're on to the uncommon races. There's two less uncommon than there are featured races, and these all only get a two-page spread in the book. Most have been getting, I think, 4 pages for these featured races. So now, you know, these episodes are going to be getting shorter. You know, listeners can expect that. But these really, to me, are some of the most interesting visually. I like the far out. I like the they call them uncommon. I like that. I like the idea of these things look very foreign, very alien. I'm interested in seeing what happens here, and I've been excited since we started to get to this. I didn't care about the half-orc. Honestly, it was like, whatever, okay, half-orc. This is what I wanted to get to, Christian. What are some that you're excited to get to?
Me, personally, I think the Samsarans are a very interesting race. I like the idea of, you know, reincarnation being built into an entire race, and the RP opportunities that that represents. Mm-hmm. And I just think Ripley are adorable. I love little frog people. They're so cute. They're like 2 feet tall. It's ridiculous. How do you roleplay that? I don't know. How are you?
I can't stand Ripley, so can't wait till we get to them. I can't stand some of the monkey races. We're going to get to them later. I will say, though, I'm very interested in how they're going to make Undines, Gilman, and Merfolk different from each other. The only way I can see they're going to make Merfolk different, but we'll see how that goes. I hope they give them some great different identities. Changelings are interesting, I think, and I certainly want to go see, of course, the Kitsune. And I'm actually my first ever character, Christian, in Pathfinder was a Merfolk.
Really? Your first ever was a Merfolk? You are one special snowflake, Caleb.
Was a Merfolk summoner.
Ooh, who let you do that? I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to. The Servnelfin? Servnelfneblin?
Svivrblin. Svirfniblin.
Deep gnomes. Dark gnomes.
Svirfniblin. Yeah, they win the Svirfniblin. Svirfniblin.
Because they are a 24 RP race, meaning 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, you will never play that race. You will never be allowed to play the deep gnome. Gnomes themselves are annoying.
Strix, we're going to have a flying race. So look forward to that. I keep telling you guys, I think almost every episode, look forward to that. You don't have to do anything I tell you to do. All right, you make your own choices. But it's going to get real interesting. Just to give you guys a projected idea where we're going after that, we're going to get to some of the other races that are past this book that were released in the Bestiaries. And that gets some really interesting stuff. And we're going to talk about, you know, the race builder here they have at the end. We're not going to go exactly through how to build a race. We'll probably do that when we review this book as in its whole. But there is some sample races like the Gargoyle, some forearm dudes. Very interesting. They ended up getting kind of changed and turned into actual player races. And then we're going to talk about what races do we want to see in the future. And maybe even a few races that we made ourselves. So all that's coming up. Next is the Changeling. Thank you all for listening. Class is dismissed. Wait! Christian!
Yeah?
Before you go!
Okay. Wait. No, I'm leaving.
There was, I just came back from seminary today, and in my class, you know, of course, I was hearing some stories, and he talked to me about this minister that was stopped by a state trooper for speeding, and the trooper smells alcohol on his breath and sees an empty wine bottle on the floor, and the trooper asks, "Sir, have you been drinking?" And he must be from the South, a fantasized South that's very stereotypical, and the minister says, just water. And the trooper says, then why do I smell wine? And the minister looks down at the bottle and says, good Lord, he's done it again! Ah! Best jokes around!
Pathfinder Academy is part of the Trailblazer Network. For other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit our site, tblazer.net. Want to get in touch? You can email us at tblazernetwork@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at tblazernetwork. I've been Nicholas Laborde. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Danny, do you want to play some D&D tonight?
Oh, I can't. My parrot's gonna have open-heart surgery again.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's gonna be super boring.
Hang in there, Danny. She'll pull through. But remember, when you can't play, listen. At Tales from the Lich, we do our best to provide an immersive RPG play session with an ever-expanding library. When you can't play, listen. TalesFromTheLich.com